Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that's part of this complete breakfast. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope.
So, here we are. Four of us here for the latest installment of The Scope Summer Movie Slam. Mm-hmm. It's a sneak preview review of the Steve Carell thriller, The Way, Way Back. And I say we have four people here because we have myself and Jared. We are the anchors of the show, as always.
Always doing our diligence.
But Adam has decided to make an appearance.
I was invited.
We got him tickets. We said we must see you once every 3 months.
Worked out.
And he brought his secret wife with him, Mandy. They just bought a house and they secretly got married. Yeah. So that's what we're actually going to talk about.
Secret wife, because there's that other wife. My not secret wife.
The real wife.
Yeah.
And that might be some lady I may or may not have met. I was going to make a Maya Rudolph joke, but didn't seem like she was your type.
Who's Maya Rudolph?
She was a key player in the movie, Adam.
Here
come
we
on.
Go to the movie.
Okay, so this movie comes out
July 5th.
July 5th. So who knows when the review is going to happen?
July 4th.
All right, July 4th. Convergence. So
we'll get up before that.
Jared, this is, like I said, Steve Carell. We've got a huge cast. So why don't you start buzzing through the cast?
Liam Jones.
James.
Liam James.
Completely forgot.
Sam Rockwell.
Yep. Maya Rudolph. We talked about Toni Collette. You've got Rob Corddry. You've got Amanda Peet. You've got Anna Sophia Robb.
Yep.
You've got other people.
Ben and Kate.
Allison Janney.
Yes.
You knew that.
You got Summer Teeth from Ben and Kate. Summer there.
Nate Faxon.
What's his name?
Nate Faxon.
That's why you're here.
Oh, so he co-wrote it too. All right.
Did he? With?
With Jim Rash.
The Dean.
You may know him as the Dean from
Community.
Oscar winning Dean.
Both of them. The two of them are the two that co-wrote The
Inception.
The Descendants.
Oh, Descendants. I thought it was Inception.
And Inception 2, The Descendants.
Search for Curly's Gold.
Exactly.
All right, Jared. So this is the part of the review where you shine you give us a summary of the movie.
Well, I'll just give you the setup because I don't want to get into too many details because this is a pre-review. And as you know, we try not to get too spoilery.
Except if we hate it, like most of the movies we've seen
this
summer.
And then we'll tear it apart. So basically, it starts out, we're in the car, we're heading to somewhere, New York, somewhere. We don't know. Some summer beach vacation spot.
The Dells.
With Trent.
The Big Ocean.
Played by Steve Carell and our young hero's name is Duncan. His mom.
Toni Collette.
And
Pam is her name.
Trent's daughter, played by someone who I don't know. They're all heading up to Trent's summer home to apparently vacation. And this is Trent and Duncan's mom. What was her name?
Pam. You
remember her? Pam? Was it Pam?
It was Pam.
I totally remember. Forgot that part. Okay. So Trent and Pam are been dating for almost a year. And this must be their first vacation away together.
They've got a blended family.
They each have a kid. Trent has a daughter who's older. Duncan is the 14-year-old.
And a biatch.
Kid. And Trent is just not, or Duncan does not want to be there at all. He doesn't feel like he has any place there. He's sort of too young to hang out with the older kids at the beach and too old to play with Peter, the neighbor kid, so he doesn't really have anything to do. He's really, really sad and frustrated and
socially awkward, might be.
Right. So while the
adult, or as I like to say, Adam Sitnick,
and he wants to live with his dad.
And the dad doesn't. He keeps saying like, "Oh yeah, I'll have you as soon as I'm set up," and then
we've all heard that before.
He's an absentee dad. So the adults act like kids. Spring break, I believe, was even a reference made in the movie. It's like spring break for adults here. So the adults act like kids, and Duncan basically is left to his own devices. And so he finds a bike in the garage and just starts tooling around town. And he runs into a guy played by Sam Rockwell named Owen, who apparently manages or in some way is an authority figure at the local water park.
And he's a sack of fun, this guy.
He's a sack of fun. He's kind of a no rules but the rules you make for yourself kind of guy.
He's a lot like me.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of parallels.
So he is sort of the catalyst for Duncan to go on this journey of kind of finding himself over the course of this summer.
Through a job.
At the water park. Which the rest of his family doesn't even know he has.
It's his secret.
So that's probably all the details.
There's that guy with that mustache, by the way.
Super mustache.
That's probably all the details about the plot that I want to get into. Suffice it to say, there's going to be some conflict.
There's going to be some ups and downs.
There's going to be some uncomfortable situations.
There's going to be some Pac-Man.
There's going to be some
there's
thing.
There's going to be some Pac-Man, at least the first screen of Pac-Man.
In a coming-of-age family-type drama, there are going to be some predictable things that will come along, and I think it depends upon how smoothly and how subtly they were handled to either make or break the movie, I think.
All right.
So let's start with Mandy, since she's the quiet one. She's sitting in my daughter's spot. Mm-hmm. We've got the female opinion. Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy this film?
I loved it. Yeah, Duncan and I really liked him as a character. He was cringefully endearing.
He was what endearing?
Cringefully.
Cringefully endearing.
He's an adverb.
Like, were you cringing at his awkwardness
yeah,
early on?
Yeah, but I loved him. Yeah. I liked the film a lot.
Yeah, he didn't, I think, in Duncan's journey, and obviously he wasn't working at the water park very long, because it was clear he started around the 4th of July.
He's the employee of the month.
And he turned it around very quickly. He's... Mm-hmm. So my guess is he might have only been there a month, for all we know.
That month.
But I think the fact that Duncan didn't go from painfully shy to, super superstar at the end of the day. I mean, he's clearly, kind of carries his frame similarly, but at the same time...
He's gained some confidence.
You see the confidence. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's a subtle acting job. You have to give the kid props. Liam Lynch or whatever his name is.
And then the confidence he finds through working at the water park and making friends there sort of spills over into the other areas of his life.
To a certain degree.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about, we'll throw this at Adam. Let's talk about the Steve Carell character who plays the boyfriend, the longtime boyfriend of Duncan's mom. Mm-hmm. This is one of the first times we see Steve Carell in a truly asshole-like role, which is made very clear from the beginning.
Well, he's also a big asshole in Anchorman. People think he's playing dumb. I think he's playing
he's playing asshole.
So, he throws a trident at that guy.
He did. He did throw a trident.
Tell me about...
That's an asshole's weapon, if I've ever seen one.
Right.
Tell me about your take on Steve Carell.
I think he plays a dickish stepdad-type character really well.
Yeah.
I was surprised. Yeah, because, he's usually a more affable actor. I feel like there's another movie where he plays kind of a dick that I can't think of right now.
It's possible.
Whatever the case is. I had a hard time not... can I talk about the movie?
Look, it's the guy that collects our phones smoking a heater right now. He cannot wait to get out of here, Jared.
It's hard work for him.
Can I talk about the movie in general?
Yes, all please. Right.
I had a hard time...
No, talk about your lunch.
Not comparing it to Perks of Being a Wallflower.
So it's another coming-of-age story.
Yep.
I feel like it's a different type of movie, so it's probably unfair to do a direct comparison.
It's comparing 16 Candles to Breakfast Club.
Right, I don't know what any of those words mean.
One takes place during the school year.
Yes.
One's over summer.
One takes place almost during the summertime. Footloose and Fancy Free, serious.
I enjoyed it. It's of the summer movie bash movies so far that I've seen with you guys, it's my favorite one.
And if we're in the slam, this is not the year of the bash. Year of the summer slam.
Yeah.
Like a poetry slam.
The autumn film bash is coming.
I have nothing bad to say about it, except I felt like Liam...
Lynch.
Gallagher. I feel like his acting was a little over the top at the beginning when especially when he was sitting there on the beach, like hunched over himself.
Sure.
A little overly mopey?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
I've seen kids like that, maybe not to that degree.
Okay.
I think, as he started loosening up, then it started seeming like that's about what people would be like. Yeah. I mean?
Mm-hmm. This is me trying to find a critique.
Sure.
I really liked, just so much about it.
All right. Well, we'll go to Jared.
Mm-hmm.
You are wearing a nicely pressed shirt. You're the fanciest of the three men here. You've got to have it. You've had a complicated...
I am wearing an ascot and a monocle. You forgot to put that part in there.
Theater of the mind, Jared. Theater of the mind.
All right.
So,
another top hat then. Wearing a top hat.
And a cigarette with a little holder as well.
Oh, yeah,
coming out of your mouth.
The ashes away from my fancy blazer.
All right. So,
you're basically dressed like the penguin.
Yes. Really. Strangely, why does it smell like fish?
Mr. Monocle. You love the movie, I take it.
I loved it a lot. This is so far my favorite movie of the year so far.
Of the year?
Yeah. We haven't seen a lot of movies until the last month, so. It's pretty easy to make that pick, but I mean, there's a lot of movies to come, but so far of
it's no Hangover 3. That's all I'm going to say.
Didn't see that one.
Doing well overseas, by the way.
Of 2013, this is my favorite film. I think it was great to really good performances all around, except for maybe Trent's daughter character. She just kind of was in one note and bitchy mode most of the time, but
they gave her a little bit of to do towards the end. That was a bit more on the subtle side in the acting, but overall, she was what you would expect—the pretty, spoiled,
pretty much,
single she's parent.
Got her, she's
kid.
Got her. I'm assuming a summer boyfriend, whatever, and they break up. And
she's got a lot
thing.
Of stuff going on. Guys.
I know she does. She could have used a friend. I think it's Sam Rockwell is, you know, obviously a stand-up performance. Sam Rockwell is all over the place in this movie, which is a good thing because he's charm. He's
charisma, charm, up the wazoo.
I'm so happy to see him dance. He does that in a few movies, and it's always good.
He does, he makes a show of it. The writing is crisp, fantastic. I didn't feel like it was clumsy in any places, and all around just a treat of a film.
Okay, so I'm gonna dig into one part that I found to be problematic, but ultimately saved by the good acting and the good writing, which is the big Steve Carell boyfriend plot twist that they have, which we all know was coming, and then sort of the confrontation with everyone, you know, at the dinner party. I mean, I think that it might have been a more interesting movie if that wouldn't have been his character and if he wouldn't have done what they said he did, and they could have just dealt with him sort of being an asshole rather than being an asshole to, you know, give them more reason to do, for him to be that.
He didn't have to be an archetype.
Exactly. I mean, it was something that, you know, we don't necessarily need more of a reason to hate him because it was very well established at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like they sort of had to hammer it home, like, okay, we need to make sure that you're not with this guy.
I don't know. I feel like maybe that was just there to sort of prove that how we're feeling about this guy is appropriate. You know, because it's like, he might have just been trying to be the authoritative father type figure and maybe didn't know that he was being a total jerk. But
if there was a laugh track.
But you get to that scene and you're like, oh, no, he really is this guy. Okay.
Yeah.
We're justified in hating him.
Well, I didn't need it. Okay. I'm just saying I didn't need it.
You're just an advanced movie watcher.
Very well. Maybe I live some of that stuff. You never know. You never know.
You are Trent.
I am Trent. Exactly. That. Wow. That's not how I would have done it. Just tell me that right now.
When I take my other family to the beach.
But that, I mean, and the other thing is, like, when Adam was talking about this being a different kind of movie than Perks of a Wallflower, it definitely is. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are things in this movie which don't necessarily play realistically compared to Perks.
Right.
Where, everything was played like this could actually be, even if it couldn't. This movie, you sort of have these, you know, the time split at the water park versus home.
Yeah, it's like a summer camp fantasy.
Exactly. But I think the key is how that's balanced in the writing and how it's balanced in the acting, and if those two worlds can be merged together and done so in an appealing way, which I think we all agree it absolutely has been.
Not enough suicide attempts in this movie.
No,
to make it as good as Perks of Being Wallflower.
Yeah.
Right, because that's the sign of a good movie.
Yep. And once again, it doesn't necessarily end neatly, and it ends in a way where you probably want to see what could happen in their lives going forward.
Definitely.
I think you saw the symbolic shift right at the end. You can kind of project out how things are going to end up.
Yes. But overall, stellar movie. That's what I say.
Mm-hmm.
Way better than anything we've seen thus far this summer. Bam.
There you go.
So let's give this a score.
5.
Oh, here we go.
Fast and the Furious.
Stop mocking my daughter. She's a little girl.
The Scope score is 3.5 stars.
So, big scores.
Consensus from the people that matter.
You really don't matter.
I would go see this movie again and take my wife. I'm going to have to temper my
wife.
I'm going to have to temper my enthusiasm because I don't want to make her feel like she's left out. And then when I make her go see The Purge tomorrow night by herself.
Right.
So,
you got to have someone to cover it.
Adam and Mandy, thank you for appearing on this. Thanks for using the tickets.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. My pleasure and Jared's pleasure. So we will do another Sculpt Summer Movie Slam soon.
Mm-hmm.
Just so pull up your bootstraps, tighten the belt, and get ready for it. So for everyone here,
bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.